What is up, guys? So before we start the show today, I want to take a little bit of time to tell you about something I hold very near and dear to my heart, and that is Social X. Social X is a community of entrepreneurs working together to make a positive impact on the world, scale their businesses, make more money, and build their networks with like-minded individuals. They teach entrepreneurs how to go from zero to six figures, and their weekly mastermind calls feature top business moguls and entrepreneurs from various industries. They have online courses, they have amazing entrepreneur events all over the country, and much, much more. Now, if you're interested in learning more about Social X, go ahead and go to socialxmastermind.com. And let them know you came from this podcast. And, you know, I really genuinely believe you should join this mastermind because honestly, without it, this podcast would not exist. So go ahead, come join me within the Social X Mastermind. And let's go ahead and get on with the show.
Welcome to the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show, where we speak with elite individuals and top performers and seeing what it takes to stay healthy and get wealthy. Are you ready to be elite? Are you ready to be part of the 1%? Well, then without further ado, let's get it. What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. I'm your host, Chase Henderfit, and today I have another elite entrepreneur with me today. This one's actually really cool because I got to see him speak at Disrupt Puerto Rico, and he was absolutely fantastic. He was one of Tony Robbins' top speakers and business trainers and has now gone on his own to become a peak performance coach to help build purpose-driven entrepreneurs. Please help me welcome Mr. Naeem Mahmood. Mr. Mahmood, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chase. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, seeing you speak at Disrupt Puerto Rico, it was the content you put out was absolutely amazing. And I understand, like, you flew in for the event, spoke, and then flew right back out. So the fact that you took the time to come in and talk to all of us, you know, meant a lot. So thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely, man. It was it's always fun to go speak at events. That's what I was doing for a long time with Tony. And I love kind of that personal touch with people.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that was kind of my first time getting into the speaking world as well. So I definitely see where you're coming from on that. Before we kind of roll into everything, for those of you who do not know who you are as well, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little about, you know, who you are, but really what got you into what you're doing today?
Yeah, sure. So I was born in New York. I grew up in New Jersey. I went to school in New York. I went to NYU.
Okay.
I was always a big I played basketball there. I'm a big basketball fan. And then I kind of studied economics there. Well, not kind of, I did. I studied economics there. And then I went into Wall Street and I was kind of doing the thing. My friends were doing, my family was doing kind of the hedge fund stuff back then in the kind of early 2000s and investment banking. And I didn't really like that, but I was kind of going through the motions, like what I should be doing and like significance and status. But I didn't know what else I did want to do, right? I didn't really know this world of personal development and like, oh, you can create your life on your terms. But then I started reading books and eventually I came across Tony Robbins. A friend of mine said, hey, dude, this guy Tony Robbins has an event in New York that's coming up. He's like, go check it out. I was like, I don't really want to go, but I was like, I'll check it out. I wanted to be open-minded too, right? So it's kind of the typical response. So I went and it was awesome. Kind of to make a long story short, right? Just kind of opened my mindset to new possibilities and that I am in control of my life and that I can create life the way I want to. I don't have to live based on what my parents say to do or what people say to do or society says to do. And I started thinking purposely and intentionally about what I really want. I never really thought that way. I never thought I could ask myself what I want and then go and create it. So then I just got deeper into it. It was kind of cool because I was able to help myself more. So I started traveling. I started my own company. I love fitness too. I love that you're a fitness guy, right? That's kind of, I was always big into fitness too because I was overweight as a kid. So I like the fact that I was able to help myself get in shape too. So that's kind of like my passion too, like fitness and mindset are kind of my two top things. But then eventually I decided to reach out to Tony and work for him. I applied for a job and I got the job and I worked for him for about 5 years, 4.5 years. And I traveled around the country and I did talks and events and workshops on behalf of him all throughout the United States with corporate companies like Salesforce, American Express, Keller Williams, Google, Facebook. Like, it was a lot of fun and I learned a ton. And then I left about a year and a half ago now. Not because I didn't want to be there. I loved it. It was kind of a hard decision to make, but I learned a ton. It was probably the best experience I had in my life professionally. But I wanted to, I always wanted to have my own business and I always wanted to travel. And that's kind of what I'm doing now. I'm traveling more as I grow my business and help more people.
Absolutely. That's amazing. What was it like working with Tony, and like, how did you get into actually being like one of his speakers within his company?
Yeah. So, excuse me. So what was it like? It was very intense. It was also very fun. When I say intense, like, cause Tony doesn't mess around, right? He's like an elite athlete, right? He's like playing with like Michael Jordan. He's like the best ever in personal development, right? So he's like Michael Jordan or like LeBron James or whatever. So it was intense, but I like that, right? Cause it was like competition, like always being your best and constantly like being on the ball. So it definitely made me like really sharp and like on point, and also just managing my state and my emotions and my physiology, because that's what I'm selling, right? So I got to practice that and live that. So that was kind of cool. Like I had to be that person. And then in terms of, what was the second question you asked me? You said,
how did you get into like, you know, actually like speaking on behalf of them?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the second part, I didn't even know that that's what I was going to do. I just kind of went to the website and I was like, I know I'm going to work for them. And I started like implementing those principles of personal growth. I just go do it and just do something and take action and just take small steps. So I just went to the website and I was like, what's here? And I looked through the jobs and I applied to more than one, but then that one was kind of cool. It's like a peak performance strategist, and it said it's like the hardest one to do. And they kind of like sold me on it. So I was like, I want to do that one. And then it was kind of an arduous process. It took me like 4 months to actually get the job, and they interviewed a lot and they kind of tested me a lot and had to go through a lot of rounds of interviewing. But eventually I got it, and it was a lot of fun.
Dang, that's wild. I mean, that's out of anything there is to do in the world, peak performance mentoring. That's awesome. Now that I've understood like the impact of peak performance mentoring, it's insane. But for anybody who like doesn't know exactly what that is, like what is a peak performance coach? Like what's exactly entailed with that?
Yeah, so it's kind of a fancy term, right? All these are like semantics. I think it's kind of funny how like people are approaching terms, right?
Right.
But it's really, why does anybody want to coach? If people want to coach aside from sports, right? Like Tony kind of coined that term of coaching outside of sports, right? Like now everybody's a coach these days, right? There's life coaches or performance coaches. There's whatever, health coaches, right? But ultimately, yeah, right? So people come to a coach, so they go to you because they want you to get a result for
right.
specific. And health and fitness, but I'm sure you coach them on other stuff too, because it's not just one thing, right? If somebody has a health problem, it doesn't mean they just have a health problem, right?
Right.
They might have a relationship thing. They might have a psychological, emotional thing, right? So it's all interconnected in a holistic process, right? So when somebody comes to a coach like me or you, they want a result, right? Whether that's their health, whether that's their business, whether that's their relationship, whether that's their finances. But ultimately, again, when you go deeper to the root of it, It's not, that's the surface level, right? So there's definitely deeper stuff. And the cool thing is when you make a switch at the deeper level, kind of like in a computer operating system, the code, if you make a simple shift, it'll change multiple things, right? So that's kind of what people come to me for, right? They come to me for all these different reasons, but ultimately they want to shift their emotional well-being, right? They want to feel a certain way. They want to have shift their belief systems about who they are or what's possible. Or maybe a value system, right? One person says they should do this, but they really are, like their parents, they do the safe thing, but they're adventurous, right? They want to go travel, or they want to start their own company, right? And they have this internal conflict of, I really want to do this, but I also really love my parents, and I want to help them, and I'm being pulled in these different directions. What do I do, right? And they kind of spin around in circles, and some people do it their whole lives, right? So it's really freeing when you're able to make those little shifts for people, for them and for you. It's fun to do that. For me to see people light up, when you make that shift, they just kind of like start soaring. And that's what happened to me too, right? When I started doing this work. So it's always so fun to like help people do the same thing.
Right. So let's say someone's in that kind of scenario where they're, you know, because a lot of my audience are younger, like, you know, within the 18 to kind of 35 year old range, like young entrepreneurs who are trying to, you know, explore and become something better, become their healthiest mm-hmm. and wealthiest self. So let's say they're in that scenario, you know, they've got these high aspirations. They want to go travel the world and start their own company, but you know, they have the expectations that maybe it's a family member or it's their friends that are kind of holding them back, and they're torn between the two. You know, what's something you would kind of tell them right off the bat? Like, this is something that you either have to change or address or whatever.
It's a good question. It's also a deep question, right? Cause it's not really, so a big thing about coaching is not really telling, right? I could tell you things all day,
right?
But it's really, coaching is, it's a lot of things, right? But one is it's holding space, right? For some people, it's just nice to have somebody that they know really loves and cares about them and is like they're present and listening. A lot of times people don't have anybody to even just listen to them, right?
Yeah.
So that by itself is like 50 to 70% of the process, right? And most people, they're friends, and their friends love them, and their family loves them too, but they're so quick to jump in and be like, hey, Chase, do this, right? You're out of shape. Go to the gym, or go drink green juice, or go do this, right? Or go start intermittent fasting, right? Or whatever it might be. And those might be really useful things, right?
Right.
But there's deeper stuff, right? So I wouldn't really start by telling people. I think I have to think about the process too, because a lot of it's kind of unconscious in me. But the first step would really just be kind of holding space. The second step would be kind of seeing what's going on inside them, right? Their blueprint, right? What are their beliefs, right? What beliefs are really getting in the way there? And then also their values, right? What do they really value most? And then it's really kind of tinkering and helping them align those things, and also making, maybe unblocking some beliefs, right? Some people might say, hey, if I go start my own company, my parents are going to say I'm a failure, right? Because they say I should be a doctor, right? So for that example, I'd help them start shifting that belief or that mindset about why they think it might be wrong, and also make them feel better about how it's not necessarily going to ruin their relationship with their parents, right? How they can still keep that love and that joy and that respect and that bond. So it's really kind of making them feel safe and certain that they can do both, right? Because it isn't mutually exclusive. A lot of times people think it's this or that, or right or wrong, or good or bad. But the cool thing is, it doesn't have to be, right? You could do it all and you can have both. But it's, again, it's really just rewiring what's going on up here. And it usually starts with your beliefs and your values. And then the second part is the strategy, which is where most people start, right? Then it's like, okay, cool, go do this workout, or go do this for your business, this marketing funnel, or go do this for your sales script, right? Then that stuff comes secondarily. But the reason why most people don't do that stuff, if you give it to them, is because this stuff isn't working to start, right? So you got to kind of align that first, and then it would start on like all the mechanics.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's absolutely crazy how, you know, how big a role your mindset plays in just about everything you do.
Yeah, right? And I'm sure you notice it too, right? With your clients and the people you talk to.
Oh yeah. I mean, even within myself, because I know like I've gone through periods where I kind of marked it as I've gone from skinny to built, fat to fit, everywhere in between. But the only things that have really pushed me that way is my mindset, which, you know, because there's the whole pie chart of fitness where it's like nutrition, fitness, supplements, but it's mindset, fit, nutrition, fitness, supplements. It's mindset's huge.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's absolutely. So when you go into these scenarios, like who are like the target people you really try to work with, and like, cause you're trying to help them become peak performers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'd say I kind of have two buckets of, ideal clients, if you want to call it. So one is kind of where my old stomping grounds were, right? One is I worked on Wall Street. I worked in kind of the hedge fund world and kind of investment banking for a bit. And then also I worked in Silicon Valley, right? So kind of the tech startup world, and both those worlds, just like high achievers, let's get it done, let's make tons of money, let's be really successful, let's just crush it, right? Like nonstop working. And nothing wrong with that, right? But I'm in those worlds, and I have a lot of friends there, and I just know people in that space. And I kind of just started, a lot of times people think, oh, this is my ideal client. But usually your ideal client starts coming to you, right? And they think, oh, no, that's my ideal client, right?
Right.
So you kind of, the market kind of tells you what they really need and want, right? So I kind of like started realizing, oh, cool, these people are reaching out to me. I'll start coaching them because I wanted to be of service and I wanted to grow my business. So that's kind of one bucket. And I usually help them mainly with more of their mindfulness and their wellness, right? Because they're really good at like making a lot of money and being really successful in their business, but they're not so good at their health. They're not so good at their relationship. They're not so good at just taking care of themselves, right? And again, it's not because they're bad at it. It's just because most of their focus is on business and success, right? And that's totally cool. Nothing wrong with it. No judgment. That's just where their focus is, right? And then the second bucket I work with a lot these days is younger entrepreneurs, right? Mostly men between kind of early 20s to 30s that want to have a lifestyle, right? And more freedom. And they don't want to do that crazy grind, but they do want to have kind of what we have, right? Just kind of the ability to work from anywhere and make a difference and make great money. But also take care of yourself and not kind of go crazy all the time, right? But I know you work your butt off too, and I work my butt off too. But it's also work. When I say work, it's not just work. To me, I work all the time, but it's not, my work is my life, right?
Yeah.
So my business is a big part of my life, but then I also work my butt off on my health. I work my butt off on my relationships. I work my butt off on my spirituality, right? All these different things. So I'm always working, but I make sure that my wheel is nice and full. And the cool thing about that is, even though it's taking some time away sometimes from my business, I actually do better in my business, right? Because if I meditate or if I go work out, it's like I perform at such a higher level instead of constantly burning my bandwidth up here.
Absolutely. I love that so much, because especially since one of my motto, I mean, it's the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show, because when it comes to performing at your peak levels, your health is your wealth. And, you know, health expands on so many different fronts, whether it be, you know, physical, mental, or emotional. That's how, what's something that you kind of do to really push that narrative and really, you know, help people understand the importance of your health when it comes to your wealth?
So I agree with that 100%. That's huge, right? Health is everything, dude. Like, every day we wake up, man, we're so lucky just to breathe, right? Yeah. And then think about it. I can't remember the person, but like, you know, a friend of mine just got hurt, right? Like, broke his foot or something. And like, and I remember I broke my foot before. And that's just breaking your foot, right? Like, it sucked. I had to be on crutches, right? So I'm so grateful. I'm like, man, I can't wait to walk again, right? So every day you can even walk and like move your arms and just be a healthy human, that's cool, right? Like, start from that foundation. So that's wealth right there, the fact that you have a body and the fact that you can breathe. But then the second part is when you take care of your body, right? Like, again, beyond the money, it's like you could have Warren Buffett or Jeff Bezos, they would trade all their money in the world to be my age and your age again. They would start all over again and like start from $0 if they could do that. Right? Because every day is worth their net worth, right? Like, if you could have a day of life that's worth trillions of dollars, you can't even quantify that, of course, right?
Right.
So, but it's hard. There's this thing called the law of familiarity, right? And that means you get used to things, right? You get used to an amazing relationship. You get used to your health. You get used to the money you have, or the house you have, right? So it's a useful thing to practice gratitude, which I'm sure you do, right? Just practice gratitude every day and different areas of your life, and your body's a big part of that, right? So every day I just thank my body. And in the morning, I actually do a ritual, right? Kind of prime myself, and I just channel all this energy. And I literally, through each organ, right? My brain, my heart, my kidneys, my liver, because all those things are like amazing, right? I'm so grateful to have my bones, my muscles. So that's kind of one of the exercises I like to do, just to remember and remind myself how lucky I am to have my health.
Absolutely. And you've mentioned something a couple of times now, is that mindfulness. Now, mindfulness is key. I mean, I feel like that's something that a lot of people are aware of, but they don't really practice a whole lot, and they don't implement it enough.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. How important has it been for you and like for your clients, and how do you really, you know, push that narrative as well?
Yeah. So I just like to talk a lot about, well, meditation a lot. Like, my clients, I don't make everybody, but I definitely, like, again, I'm holding space, right? So it's never, you have to do this, but I definitely coach them on that and suggest it, because meditation, if you just look at the studies, it's not a question of spirituality. It's more, if you look at the studies scientifically, if you meditate, your brain's going to kind of calm down. You're going to go to an alpha state. Your whole body's going to relax. And there's been studies that show it heals things like disease and things like that. So it's not spiritual mumbo jumbo, it's scientific proof. And so meditation's one thing. What else? Gratitude, for sure, for mindfulness, right? Just being grateful. And also love, right? Spending time with people you love, right? Just making sure you're around people that you love and care about, and giving them a call, shooting them a text message. That's a daily practice I like to do. I think mindfulness more, I kind of use that term just because it's kind of the generic term a lot of people use, but a lot of times the mind is kind of what disconnects us from the heart and the soul, right? So I kind of think of like even heartfulness. And your heart actually has, as I think it's a second amount as many neurons as your brain in your body, right? So your heart
really
has an intelligence that most people aren't aware of. And in China, the heart is more kind of honored than the brain is, right? So they kind of usually start with the heart out in the Far East, which is kind of cool too.
That's wild. I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm learning.
That's
something.
Another thing too. I like to do this too. I like to do like a heart meditation. I just put my hand on my heart, and when I'm meditating, I just kind of like just move my focus from being up here to into my heart and just be heart. And there's a thing called heart math. I don't know if you heard of it, but basically they've done studies here. If you meditate and your hands on your heart and you're focused on your heart, after a while, your brain and your heart, the waves, they're going to sync up And when they do that, you're just in a totally different flow state where you're just, again, 10 times more effective and productive, kind of like being in the Matrix, right? Or like that movie with Bradley Cooper. What was it? Limitless, right?
Oh, Limitless. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of joking, but it's not. Like, you literally get in these alpha states where you can see things that normally you can or most people can't because you're just in this different wavelength.
That's wild. I didn't even know that. I wasn't aware. Yeah. I mean, I've practiced mindful meditation and, you know, it's very hard because a lot of people, they think they have to clear the mind, but it's more so just kind of focusing on it. And at least for me, it's been focusing on it and being aware of the mind and the thoughts that you have, but having to connect to your heart. I never even knew that.
Yeah. Yep. That's, and I like what you said, right? It's not about changing your mind. It's just, again, creating space for your mind to do whatever it wants to do, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with what it's doing. And this ego thing, when people say ego's bad, that's your ego, right? Like, your ego's cool. It loves you. Your ego's trying to protect you, right? Just love your ego, appreciate it. There's nothing wrong with it, right? When you say ego's bad, that's your ego saying it's bad, right? So
that's what, that brings on another, like, interesting topic is, you know, the discussion about ego. Because there's a lot of people who kind of dismiss it completely, or they tell you have to, like, push it down into a hole and forget about it. And then there's, you know, like you said, you know, you have to appreciate the ego. What's the whole conversation behind that? What's the reasoning behind your views on that?
Yeah, so it's fear, right? Like, and again, fear is not a bad thing. Fear is a healthy thing. If we didn't have fear, we would have run away from a tiger, right? I would just go surf these 20-foot waves in Rincon and kill myself, right? That's actually what I did. I didn't realize how dangerous it was when I got here and got on these massive waves. And I got a shock, like the wave smashed me, and now I know, right? So it's like a signal. Right? But so it was basically fear, though. And again, with fear, too, just like, and it gets to me the same thing. People say, oh, I shouldn't be scared. No, fear, again, you're never going to, fears, everybody has fear. If you're not fear, you're lying, right? Like Michael Jordan has fear, Jeff Bezos does, Oprah Winfrey does, Tony Robbins does. We all do. As long as you keep growing, you're going to get fearful. You're going into the unknown. The universe is always expanding. As long as we're expanding into the unknown universe, like, it's going to be kind of scary. And there's nothing wrong with that, right?
Right.
But it's really more your relationship with fear, right? Most people, again, they try to repress it or be like, oh, I'm not scared. And they try to avoid it. And when you do that, whatever resists persists, right? So if I'm, it's like lifting. And what you're doing is, if you think about working out as a metaphor, you're just lifting weights and you're making that muscle stronger. So whatever's creating the fear in your brain, your neurons, and your nervous system, you're just building that muscle. So it's like I'm doing squats. I wouldn't say the wrong way, but I'm doing squats just like I'm building the fear. So the muscle of the fear is growing. So every time, if I have an anchor of fear of dogs, or no, let me say public speaking, right? A lot of people have a fear of public speaking. If I think of that thing every time and I try to repress it, be like, I'm not scared, versus no, be like, dude, it's totally cool. These emotions are telling me something. I should appreciate them. And they're a call to action instead of saying, oh, I'm not scared. Every time I say I'm not scared or like try to deny it, I'm building that muscle in my brain and I'm also triggering that hormonal response in my nervous system, which creates more fear, which perpetuates that cycle, right? So again, back to the ego, it's the same thing, right? It's just fear. But again, when you try to repress it, it's just gonna get stronger and stronger and stronger. And so when you just love on it and appreciate it and be like, oh, it's totally cool. Like, I appreciate you. What are you trying to tell me? There's some really cool therapeutic exercises where you just listen and you feel the emotional fear, anxiety, depression, sadness, whatever it is, and you just honor it and you let it rise up instead of pushing it down. And then again, you might cry, you might feel whatever, and nothing wrong with that. Like, a lot of guys feel embarrassed about crying. Dude, like, that's like the most manly thing to do, to be vulnerable, right? Like, just be vulnerable and let it out, right? I think that was a challenge I used to have a lot too, but again, that's a powerful thing, to be vulnerable, right? So again, just looping it back, just appreciate it, honor it. The emotion is telling you something. Listen to the emotion and let the emotion take you, just like a wave. If you're taking a wave, if you go against it, it's going to smash you. Even if when you get smashed, you're not supposed to resist it. If you flow with the wave under the water in the washing machine, you're going to go with it. But if you resist the ocean's going to mess you up.
Right. Oh man, I love that. That was fantastic. Yeah, your emotion, that's something I've had a lot of trouble with growing up as well. It's something I'm really kind of getting into as well, is just listening to your emotions and realizing that your emotions aren't there to kind of like bring you back, but they're more so there to kind of, they're like a second sense of intuition almost, where it's pushing you to do, like you said, public speaking. You know, you go up on stage, you know, you're fearful of speaking in front of people, like, okay, well, yeah, I'm scared, but I'm going to do it because I know I have a strong emotional reaction to this event. I know that this is either something that's really, really right, or it's going to be something really, really wrong, but I won't know until I do it.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. There, just a quick caveat, right? I don't want people to go do stupid stuff, right? Like, there's healthy fear too. Like, you shouldn't jump off a cliff, right? Or jump off, unless you're skydiving, right? Or you shouldn't go touch a tiger if it's going to kill you, right? Like, there's also, like, you have to be intelligent too. I'm not saying go do crazy stuff, but like, and people, we know, right? Like, if there's a difference between getting out of your comfort zone and like healthy fear of like, oh my God, there's a cobra, I should run, right?
Right. How do you help people kind of get out of their comfort zone? Because taking your first couple steps out of your comfort zone, I feel like are the hardest. At least, you know, in my experience and the experience of my colleagues, that has been the case where you're just, you know, maybe it's posting something on social media that, you know, your friends that might not like, or maybe it's, you know, putting out a view that you don't know is like widely accepted, whatever it might be. Like, what are those steps to really kind of push yourself out of the comfort zone those first couple times, really build that momentum?
Yeah. So one is, I kind of have two approaches, right? One is just go do it, right? Like feel it, just jump, right? And that used to be like my main approach, but now I kind of have a different, a new one, right? Where it's more just like a lot easier, like less like intense, right? Where it's just like baby steps and also reframe. A lot of times I start with the psychology and reframing what it means, right? Because the reason people are fearful, they have a belief that's triggered in their head that brings the fear, and then they don't want to do it, right? But if you could also just reframe and shift that belief system, you could just make the fear go away, and then no one would be scared. Like, oh, really? Oh, yeah. I realize that's not scary, right? So there's some cool things you could do, too. Again, if you know how to do it, like public speaking, the only reason somebody might be scared of public speaking is they're making a really big picture in their head, right? We all visualize whether we're wearing it or not, right? So they're making, like, everybody's laughing at them, or they think about, they're in high school, maybe friends made fun of them when they were on stage, or people did, right? They laughed at them or whatever. And every time they go up there, they trigger a memory, and then they see it. Again, they're not aware of it, but it's there. And maybe it's like really big and scary, right? Or big and bright, and like it's messing up their head every time. And the cool thing is, again, you can play with it just like computer code. You could literally change the code of what's going on there visually, also auditorily, right? You could change the sounds in your head. And again, most of this is subconscious, 99% of it. It's murder. Most people aren't aware of it. But the cool thing is, again, when you become aware of it, then you can start tinkering with it. And then that's where it's like, oh, cool. Like, I've worked with people where they're totally scared of snakes or spiders, or they're smoking and they can't stop smoking. And then literally just by shifting some of the stuff up here, like 10 minutes later, it's done, right? So that's kind of a more easy, less painful way. And that's why also coaching is expensive too, right?
Yeah.
You can make those shifts. But that's why Tony Robbins can charge $1 million for like an app for 10 hours, right? He charges about $100,000 an hour for his clients, like Oprah Winfrey and people like that. Because imagine if you could change that. Like, if you could change a fear of being loving and vulnerable and like being able to be in an intimate relationship, where a lot of people are just closed off intimately their whole lives. You can't really quantify that. I'd pay millions of dollars to have that, right? So if you could shift that in a session or two sessions for $20,000, it's worth it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So usually that's kind of another approach that I take. And even aside from that, just habits, right? Like, you don't have to make it this big thing. Like, break it down and just make a baby step. Like, it doesn't have to be the biggest step in the world. If you're trying to launch a business, right? Like, literally, do the smallest thing, put a post out. And it doesn't have to be a crazy, most people do the crazy post, like, I'll take my shirt off and tell everybody I'm doing a business now and like make a big deal out of it. But crazy, it's crickets, because it's crickets for everybody. It doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
So if you just do like one small thing, like, oh, cool, awesome. And I'll do another small thing. After a while, it stacks up, right? But it's hard for people to kind of get in that middle ground. They either go to the extreme of like, let's go for it. And then they get hit in the face and they quit. Or they just don't do it because they have this big fearful story the whole time. So they're kind of like either extreme this way or extreme the other way.
Right. Absolutely. I think one of those big fears too is like people are afraid of what other people would think as well when they go through and actually try to implement, you know, what it is they want to do with their life or with their dreams or whatever it might be. What are some of those ways you kind of reframe the mind to tell, you know, to let people know, because what I found is people really don't care all that much what you do or you don't do. It's just a matter of what you do or not. What are those ways that you really kind of help perpetuate that idea? And I guess reframing the mind.
I like that. I saw your post about it today too. That was a good post, right? You said pretty much the same thing, right? Something about people are, you think you care about what people think, but they actually don't care. They're not really focused on you. They're focused on themselves, right? Which is so true.
Yeah.
And I'm going to answer the reframing thing in a second, but this is going to go in line with the previous one, the baby steps.
Go for it.
It's basically for this question, like, just put yourself around people that are going to support you, right? To create a peer group and a mastermind, if you want to call it, of people that are moving in the same direction. And instead of the people that are holding you down, and a lot of times it's your friends or your family, and again, it's not because they don't care about you, it's just because they have fear that you're growing and they want to keep you where they are, right? And they're not doing it consciously, they're doing it subconsciously, and they're fearful, right? They're like, oh my God, I'm going to lose you, but I want you to stay with me. And they might subconsciously be like, oh, Chase, you can't do that. Why are you being so silly? Like, or they might make a smirk without even realizing it, right? But you know what I'm saying, right? So that's one thing, right? Because when you have a peer group around you and that's your new like reality or environment, that's why I love being in beautiful places like Rincon. For me, I love the ocean because when I wake up, it's like right away I'm in a flow state, right? I'm in the ocean, I'm surfing, like I'm already flying, right? I'm already like killing it, right? Right? So just putting yourself around people, you're just going to hear those good words versus the negative words, right? So surround yourself with like-minded peers or mentors and all that, get an accountability buddy. And then in terms of reframing it, it'd kind of be the same process, right? Because again, if people are saying things to you, they're bothering you. And again, I still have people in my life to do the same thing. And it still bothers me too, right? I'm not invincible. Like Tony Robbins is invincible. Like we're human, right? Like, so people still say things to me subconsciously. If I go back to my old home or see an old friend and I know they mean well, and every one quote that I love is all communication is either a loving response or a cry for help.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. A little bomb drop right there.
So people, they're either like, it's all love or it's all, they're fearful, right? They're in pain, right? And they're crying for help, right? But a lot of times we're not equipped to handle it because a lot of times it's our close friends and family, right? And we love them so much and it's hard, right? But I like to remember that sometimes. But in terms of reframing, it's the same thing, right? If somebody's saying something to me really they're talking, right? If they're saying something that's pulling me down, it's really there's an image and there's a thought and there's the way I'm hearing it. If we're talking about, again, kind of into the submodalities of the experience. And again, if you tinker inside the mindset and the psychology, and there's also beliefs about it, right? Because if I think my older brother is saying something to me and he's like bashing me down, I can be like, oh man, it's my older brother. I shouldn't be doing it. I feel guilty, right? Or my dad is saying this, I shouldn't start my business. I feel guilty if I make more money than my dad. I used to feel guilty because I'm making more money than my dad did. I'm like, oh, I want to make him feel bad, right? And now it's, oh, cool. Actually, the new belief is, I had an old belief, and we all have a story. This is another good part. We tell ourselves stories, right? All humans. And storytelling is as old as humans, right? That's how we communicate. That's how religion is passed along. That's how myths are passed along. That's how society is held together. That's how people communicate. That's how we talk to ourselves. And we're always telling a story of how we either can or we can't do something every single day. Right, so you're either telling yourself a story of empowerment or limitation. Right, so if I'm hearing things from friends and family or other people or just strangers on social media, even that happens too, of course. There's a story there. It's saying, "Oh, I'm not good enough," or this person's saying, "I can't do it." But I always say, "One, is it true?" Right? Ask yourself, "Is it true?"
Right.
And most of the time, if you honestly tell yourself with a centered mind, and you take some deep breaths and you meditate on it, it's not, right? They don't even know who you are.
Right.
And two, and even if they do, even if it's your brother or sister, is it true, right? You're the only person that knows if it's true, right? And then two, what's the opposite, right? What's the reciprocal of that belief, right? So if I say, oh, if I make a ton of money, I'm going to be a bad person because my friend says so, because all I care about is money, right? Or all I care about it, or all I do is work all the time. You shouldn't work so hard, right? I hate that one. It still gets me.
Right? I hate that one.
I heard that one the other day. I'm like, you, I got to get the quickest thing is to leave the people, right? You just got to cut them off. Not a negative. You can still love them.
Yeah.
Love your family, but choose your peer group, right? Always love your family unconditionally, but that doesn't mean you always have to hang around them, right? Or friends, right? You can still love on your friends, but you just choose your peer group. That's the cool part about life. So the quickest thing is get away from them, but then change the story, right? It's like, what else could it mean? So to me, I went to an event with Tony actually in Miami last week, and I wrote a new belief, right? So as I get more successful and I'm making more money and my business is growing, I still have this like inertia from I'm like, oh, I feel guilty. Like, all these people, I want to help them, right? I can't help them. And they're there and I'm going here and I feel like I'm losing them, right? And now my new belief is the more successful I become, the more successful other people become. And also the more successful I become, the happier people become that I'm becoming more successful.
Huh.
Right? So instead of feeling bad about it, and again, not just intellectually, you can say it like, yeah, like an affirmation. But this is where you want to use your body and engage it and practice it and condition it like you go to the gym. You don't say it one time. You don't go to the gym one day. You don't do squats one day, right? You do squats forever, right? So you don't do this one time. Like, you condition your mindset. You condition your beliefs. You condition your identity about who you want to become, right? So every morning I do incantations where I'm not just saying the words. I'm using my body, right? Because, again, when you engage your body and your nervous system, it goes into your nervous system, and your nervous system is creating those hormones and the emotions that make you feel those feelings.
Huh. I haven't used like my body, like doing, cause I do affirmations, but I've never like, you know, moved my body around. Now it makes sense, you know, looking through what Tony's done, like his, watching his videos of his conferences and then just like the hands in the air and like on the trampoline, like that all makes sense now. Wow.
Yep. And there's many ways, right? Even breathing is shifting your physiology. If we just take, you know, box breathing, right? The 4-4-4-4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So in 4, hold 4, out 4, hold 4, right?
Yeah.
Even if you shift, even if you're nervous and you just breathe for like 30 seconds, right? Like, that'll literally shift your physiology or shift your mindset or shift everything, right?
100%. Yeah. I mean, I haven't used the box method per se, but if I ever do like my heart's racing and I get nervous, try to tone it down. Actually, no, it's funny, is I actually use my foot. I didn't even realize it. Now I just did it subconsciously again. I use my foot kind of like as a pacer. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Physiology is huge.
And the key part is the awareness. Right? That's the hardest part, right? Because it's easy to do it when you're comfortable and everything's good and you're happy and you're in flow. It's hard to do it when you're like caught, right? Like if you're on an interview or if you're on a date or if you're speaking or if you're closing a deal, right? It's like then you're nervous or your anxiety, right? You have to catch yourself. And the cool thing, the more you do it, though, it's a skill. It's a practice, right? The more you do it, you get better. And then you're like, wait a minute. You back off and you like see yourself. You get the awareness. And then you're like, oh, hold on. Let me like shift some stuff real quick. And if I literally, like even now, I'm always focused on my physiology with you, even as I talk to you, because I want to make sure I'm in a good state so I can deliver the true message I want to deliver, not for myself, but for the people I want to serve.
Boom! I need to get a little bomb button. I swear to you, I love hearing all these amazing facts. I wish I had like a little sound button. I might just throw it in there.
You can get the effects after.
I'll get the effect. Kind of like Brad Lee's podcast. Like the dropping bomb.
Right, yeah.
That is wild. So I've got a question. What are some of the kind of internal values that really drives you on a day-to-day basis? Because I mean, your mindset and the way you do things is definitely like a 1% type thing from the rest of the world. What are some of those values and just internal beliefs that have really pushed you day-to-day right now?
So values, I'd say my top values are, my top one's love. It's always been love. And the funny thing is, I used to think everybody's was, but it's not everybody. There's nothing wrong with it, right? We all obviously want love as humans, but not everybody's top value is love. But mine's always been love. And then two, I'd say freedom. I love like to be able to travel and do it what I want, when I want, wherever I want, with who I want. So I love freedom. Health is definitely a top value of mine. I love adventure. I love like trying new things, keep going on trips and like, not even trips, just like discovering new things in my neighborhood where I am, right?
Yeah.
And also like contribution, like giving back and helping in service. So I'd say those are kind of my top four values. A good way to ask yourself to discover your values, you know, is to ask yourself what's most important in life. or you can even in different areas of your life, right? You can ask yourself, what's most important to me in my relationships, right? Or what's most important to me in health, right? You can kind of chunk down in each of these different areas too. And the cool thing is when you get your values aligned, then it helps you make decisions easier. Because a lot of times, again, people can't make decisions because they have a values conflict and they're kind of pulled in different directions. In terms of the beliefs you said, the beliefs that might drive me, one is, and this is one that I got into because I started reading and getting into personal development, one is that I can create the life that I want, right? That I'm responsible. I'd say the biggest belief that really changed my life is that I'm responsible for my life. Before, I didn't think I was. And part of it was, like, I wouldn't say easy, but it was like easy in the sense that I didn't have to try, right? I'm like, oh, it's not my fault, right? A lot of people use it as a cop out. Oh, it's not my fault. I don't have any money. It's not my fault, right? I grew up in a bad household. It's not my fault, right? It's my parents' fault, right? It's I went to a bad school, right? Or I got hurt or something. And again, those stories happen, right? And I'm not saying they don't. And I feel bad for people that I don't want to say I feel bad. My heart goes out to people because we all have bad things that happen, but the challenge is when things happen to people that are quote unquote bad and people give people love for that, they get conditioned to get love for their problems and then they stay in their problems, which is why a lot of times people keep their problems. And the biggest drug in the world is problems.
Yeah.
Right? The reason people keep their problems is because it meets their needs, right? So I'm sure we all know somebody who keeps getting in the same bad relationship over and over and over just with a different person. It's like, dude, why do you keep doing that? Or girl, why do you keep doing that, right? It's like the same abusive relationship or we all know somebody who makes tons of money, but they always have no money because they spend it all, right?
Yeah.
They have a habit of spending all their money, right? Because they have a mindset that says, hey, whatever it is, they have a story that brings them back to that place because they're addicted to that problem because they got rewarded for that in some capacity, if that makes sense. So I'd say that belief, the fact that I'm responsible for my life, that really revolutionized it because then I was like, oh, cool. Like, I'm responsible for the bad stuff. That means I can change it. And it was also kind of like a wake-up call. It's like, oh, man, I got to, like, step up and, like, own this shit. And then this, I apologize for the language, but I'm sure that's okay sometimes.
That's totally fine. That's fine.
Yeah. And the only reason sometimes I curse, not to be disrespectful, it's more just to kind of be raw and real about things. Not to, like, yeah. I usually don't. I never curse if it's, like, out of anger or rage. It's more to get a point across, right? To, like, cut through the crap of a lot of times we fluff things and we soften things, right? So I'd like to cut to the core of it. But the second thing was
I can tell you work with Tony Robbins if that's the case behind it. Yeah.
Yeah, I learned that was the Tony thing for sure, right?
Yeah.
And then the second part is on the good end too. It's like I created the good stuff, right? I created my body, I created the money I have, I created my success in my business, right? So it kind of gives me that pride and that joy and that gratitude that I was able to do that with the grace of God as well to make these things possible. So I'd say that's probably a big belief. If you want another one, I'd say what's another powerful belief that I have? I'd say here's a good one, that all behavior has a positive intention, right? So myself, other people. So even if there's like a jerk or somebody does something mean or if I do something stupid, like we all do stupid stuff sometimes, but it's coming from I know it might sound crazy, but there's a positive intention behind it, right? So if somebody does something that's crazy or rude or angry, there's some part of them that's either hurt or they just haven't developed a better way of communicating or getting what they want or meeting their needs. And that's just where they're at, right? So it helped me become more compassionate and loving towards people, which that's a really good, personally for sure, in my personal life, but also in business, right? Because if you want to do it better in business and sales, and everybody's got, if you want to have your own company, you have to, everybody's selling all the time.
Yeah.
Like if you want to be better at sales and enrolling people in your vision and your product, not even your clients, your employees and the people that work with you, everybody's come from a different belief system and blueprint, and everybody does dumb stuff. So if you want to lead people, it's hard to lead all these different types of people if you can't come from that place of compassion and love and centeredness. And it's easier said than done. Like psychologically, intellectually, yeah, love everybody, be compassionate. But then when somebody comes and like does the thing that's totally opposite that you told them to do to set up your podcast, like, didn't I just tell you this, right? So you have to like really understand where they're coming from. And they're not going to listen to you if you're not coming from that place of like love and compassion, right? So,
right. I love it. All fantastic advice. Mr. Mahmood, this has been an absolute honor having you on the show. This has been incredible. I've got one last question for you.
Sure.
And that's, so let's say you were the one running this interview, right? You're the one running the interview, but you were interviewing Naeem Mahmood. You were interviewing yourself. What would you ask?
What would I ask myself?
Yeah.
I'd ask myself, it's an interesting question. I guess the first thing that comes up that people probably would think too is what's something that you want to improve on, or what's a challenge that you have going on in your life right now, right? So I'd say for me, one is I would say I need to learn how to slow down more. And even though I practice this and I talk about it and I teach this, it's definitely slowing down more and appreciating all the beauty and the abundance that I've already created, that I've already been given and gifted from God and from friends and family, and just being born in America. Like, I was traveling in Asia, and like, we're so lucky just to be living in America, right? Like, we're blessed. We won the lottery in that. Right. Not that other countries are bad, it's that we live in the most prosperous country in the world. But so for me, I'd say, and also I'm so excited to achieve things, but so yeah, it's definitely like slow down, calm down, don't be in such a rush to go to the next level, because I'm always trying to go to the next level. I'm always comparing myself to the Tony Robbinses, right? But some things just take time. Like, to become Kobe Bryant, it takes 20 years of dedicated basketball in the NBA over and over, no matter how many events you go to, how many books you read, how many coaches you have, how many times you meditate. Some things are just a matter of time. But you also have to obviously keep working, but like just being grateful and just enjoying that process of life and going with the flow.
I love it. Fantastic. Yep. Awesome. Mr. Mahmood, thank you so much for being on the show today. If anybody wants to reach out with you or out to you for any reason whatsoever, how can they go about doing so?
Yeah, sure. So all across the internet, it's my name. It's my full name. It's Naeem Mahmood. It's at Naeem Mahmood on Instagram, my social, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. And then my website is my full name also. It's naeemmahmood.com. And that's it. They can reach out to me there.
Perfect. Awesome. You guys heard it. Go reach out to Naeem or Mr. Mahmood here. And thank you again for listening to this week's episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. And until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Young, Healthy, and Wealthy Show. My name is Chase Henderfit. I am your host. And if you have any questions at all, feel free to DM me on Instagram at Chase_Henderfit. And I have one favor to ask. Please just share this episode with one person. You never know who it could help impact. And if you share it on your Instagram story, I'll repost it on mine. So until next time, stay healthy, get wealthy.